Thank you, Brother Dan. I believe you said I started preaching in 1979. That was the same year I was born. I was young, but I was not quite that young. I think you did. I'm so glad that you are all here. I know some of our numbers have been down a little bit, but I'm glad you've made the choice to come out to not only this lecture, but throughout this week and studying the Word of God together with these great Old Testament texts. It's both a pleasure and a privilege of mine to stand before you today and to discuss the text that has been assigned to me from the book of Ezekiel in chapter 3. And if you would, go ahead and be turning over there. I encourage you to take your Bibles. I will, for the most part, follow along with what is in the lecture book, but I want you to see some of these things for yourselves in your own Bibles, that you might understand and recognize that I'm not up here teaching my opinions. I'm not up here teaching the opinions of Truth Magazine regarding the Truth Foundation, but I am indeed presenting a lesson from the Word of God. We find in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel's call as a watchman. And there we notice in verses 16 and 17, Ezekiel records that at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning for me. We want to talk, first of all, for a few minutes about what a watchman is. And I think it is obvious from the word itself that a watchman is one who watches. But there is more to it than that. There was a twofold purpose or a twofold work in that of a watchman. That is, of course, to watch and to warn. As we think about watching and warning, what do we mean? Well, first of all, we notice that they were to watch on some occasions, that they might simply apprise the king of anyone who was approaching the city. In the book of 2 Samuel in chapter 18, we find some of this information, and I might just add that we're not at all going to be able to cover the passages that are in the lecture material. I have arranged many of them, though not all of them from the Bible, that deal with the subject of a watchman. Certainly I encourage you, as others have as well, to go through in your own time and to read through these passages, that you might have a fuller and deeper understanding of what the Word of God says concerning a watchman. But notice here again, as we talk about the work of a watchman to watch, in 2 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 24, it's recorded, "Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof of the gate by the wall, and when he lifted up his eyes and looked, he saw a man running alone. The watchman called out and told the king, and the king said, 'If he is alone, there is news in his mouth.' And he drew nearer and nearer. The watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gate and said, 'See, another man running alone.' The king said, 'He also brings news.' The watchman said, 'I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok.' And the king said, 'He is a good man and comes with good news.'" So here we see that a watchman was up on the city wall watching and simply told the king that there were these people approaching. But we also know that, and probably the more important work of a watchman was as he was watching and the people were approaching the city, that he was to warn of encroaching enemies. We find that this is such an important job of the watchman. In Ezekiel chapter 33, there we learn more clearly perhaps in more detail, some of the information that Ezekiel provides, and similar information as that of chapter 3. But again, in Ezekiel chapter 33, there in verses 1 through 6, as we consider the work of a watchman to warn, Ezekiel says, "The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, 'If I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and make them their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand." On the watchman stood the fate of the city. And in the book, you will notice we have a quote. I'd like to present this to emphasize the need for a watchman to warn. Here J.D. Davies said, "On the city watchman hung the fate of the city, the lives of fellow citizens. He was exempted from other duties that he might the better discharge this, the very lives of everyone within those city walls. was in the hands of the watchman, and therefore he had the responsibility. He had the work to watch and to warn of the encroaching enemies. Because of this, we find that watchmen were often stationed in towers. And these two passages simply mention that fact, that he would be up in the tower, that he might be able to watch and to see. And Habakkuk mentioned that he would go into the watchtower, that he might wait and watch and see what the word of the Lord would be in coming to him. And in watching, and then of course in warning, we find that a watchman was to do so in a very clear and in a very loud way. And I mention here as loud as possible. And I think when we consider the work of a watchman in watching and warning over the lives of these people, we can see the need for this. Many times this was done in the form of a trumpet. We just read in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 6, where that's exactly what God was talking about as the watchman was on the wall, and as he saw the encroaching enemies coming upon the city, he was to blow the trumpet. If he failed to do that, of course, then he was guilty as well. These other passages also mention the trumpet call that is often associated with the warning of the watchman. But in some passages and in some situations, perhaps where there was not a trumpet, we find that they shouted as loudly as possible. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 51, or chapter 58, rather. Isaiah chapter 58. And I'm not suggesting that preachers and elders and other people that will be watchmen shout at the top of their lungs as they speak, but I'm not saying that's a bad thing either. In Isaiah 58 and verse 1, the prophet writes, "Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins." Cry aloud, do not hold back. You had to give warning in this situation from the Word of God. As we think about the watchmen over the city, they had to give warning even if it was in the middle of the night. And we know some people can be very heavy sleepers. And if there were enemies approaching in the middle of the night, they had to get the message out. They had to cry aloud. They could not hold back. They were to sound the alarm as loud as possible. In certain situations, we also find in the Scriptures where a certain watchman did not stand upon the watchtower and watch out and then warn loudly, but they were equivalent to our modern-day policemen. In the Song of Solomon, we find that as she was going around the city, there were watchmen there who were making sure that there were not enemies from within the city walls that were bringing danger and hurt and harm upon those people. We also find that watchmen are to be constantly alert. Again, this all ties together as we consider the great importance that they have in looking out, constantly being alert and watching to make sure that there are not enemies that are coming upon the city, that they might come and destroy and devour that city. And so no matter if they had been up all day and they had the watch during that particular night, they had to stay alert. And it's fascinating to read throughout some secular writings of the many things that the watchmen would do to keep themselves awake. And perhaps we do the same thing sometimes, and perhaps sometimes we do that during certain sermons. But watchmen were to be constantly alert, constantly aware of what was approaching the city, that they might fulfill their duties and responsibilities. We also need to understand that watchmen were held responsible for the death of the citizens of those cities of whom they were watching over if he failed or if they failed in their duties. We've already read from Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 6, where the Lord clearly says that the watchman there upon the tower was to sound the trumpet call and to warn the city. But if he failed to do that, the Lord said then that the blood of those people, the guilt for their very deaths, would also be upon the hands of the watchman. They were held responsible for those things. However, if the watchman fulfilled his duties, he was not held responsible for what took place or even for the decisions made by the citizens. Perhaps the watchman would sound the warning, but the citizens would not arm themselves or would not get up and set themselves ready to defend themselves. If they did not do that, it was not the watchman's fault, but it was their own decision. Let's turn now to Ezekiel's call and commission as a prophet. We've already noticed part of this is recorded in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. But really the greater context of chapters 1 through 3 record his call and commission. We know and understand from what we've already read that Ezekiel was sent as a watchman to warn wayfaring Israel in chapter 3 and verse 17. We also learn that the Lord gave Ezekiel a message. And the Lord actually spends quite a bit of time emphasizing this to Ezekiel, that I am going to give you a message, and your responsibility, Ezekiel, is to turn around and to give that message to the people. And here we find one of the occasions in the Bible where a person was told to eat a scroll containing the word or message of God. And Ezekiel did just that. And that was to emphasize again to Ezekiel, you have to present my words. You have to give to these people what I tell you to give. Not what you think is good. Not what might save your salary or your neck. But you've got to give them my word. The Lord told Ezekiel that Israel, and of course Ezekiel already knew this, but to make it obvious, that Israel had become rebellious and had transgressed against God. They were now stiff-hearted and stubborn, and as a result, the message the Lord was giving to Ezekiel to give to these people was, "You shall surely die." Why? Because they had become rebellious and transgressed against God. And if Ezekiel failed to warn, Israel would still die. That word die should be on this chart. But if Ezekiel failed to warn the people, if he failed to approach the people and say, because of your stubbornness and your stiff-heartedness, you will surely die, says the Lord Jehovah God, they might still die. But the Lord would also require their blood at Ezekiel's hand. We read that in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18. However, if he did sound the warning, if he delivered the message that he had received from God and told the people, they shall surely die, or perhaps a more detailed message depending upon the situation. But if he warned them, they might still die. But he would deliver his own soul and he would be saved in that situation. Sometimes as we think about the work of a watchman, and especially in the spiritual realm, we perhaps think that is all. And in Ezekiel's situation, we want to understand that no, that was not all. But that he also had a responsibility toward the righteous. Turn back over to Ezekiel chapter 3. Now let's read there his responsibility, not just to the rebellious person, but even perhaps to the remnant, or those who would be righteous. Again, Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 20, the Lord speaking to Ezekiel says again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. So we find in this context of Ezekiel's call and commission that he was given by the Lord this commission as a watchman to warn all people, the wicked and the righteousness, of the consequences of sin. And a failure to do so would result not only in the deaths of the people over whom he was watching, and in this situation over the people of Israel, but it would also result in the death of the watchman. I think as we consider moving on, I guess, to application of this passage, we know and understand Ezekiel's work, and I wish we had time to go in more detail and go throughout the book of Ezekiel and see all the things that the Lord wanted him to do and the message that he was to give to the people, even though they were stubborn and stiff-hearted, even though they would not listen to him. But we need to make sure that we make some application of these things. Sometimes, and those of you that are older than I can appreciate this even more, but we hear the cry and complaint come from many people that there are no longer to be watchmen today. Yes, the Lord commissioned Ezekiel to be a watchman unto the house of Israel. But today we are not to do that. And so we want to examine this question, watching and warning, the work of a watchman. Is it a charge for Christians today? Well, there is certainly no mention of the word watchman on the pages of the New Testament that I'm aware of. There are a few references, as you'll see here, concerning the watchtowers and the actual watches. We read about the first watch or the third watch and the fourth watch and those types of things. Talking, of course, about the watchmen who were keeping watches or who were keeping watch on their certain watch. But the word watchman itself is not there. However, in answering this question, we can very clearly find the work of a watchman being explained to us in the words of Jesus and the words of the apostles. And also, we can read in passages such as Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 8, and you can read these passages in your Bibles or their quoted in the manuscript as well. In Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 and 8, Isaiah reads, "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news, and publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. the voice of your watchmen. They lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Perhaps more clearly, a passage in Isaiah 62 and verse 6 where he says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest. In the context of verses 1 through 7, show us clearly that he is speaking of the kingdom of Christ in the New Testament. Consider the following New Testament passage given by Jesus about watchmen, or about watching rather. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6, we find again Jesus speaking here. And he talks to us there about the need to watch, not only in our lives, but he also talks about the warning that people are to follow. Jesus talks about that warning in passages such as Luke chapter 12, verses 4 through 5, and Luke chapter 16 and verse 28, warning people about the consequences of their sin, causing them, or telling them rather, to beware of these various situations that would arise, and again, the various consequences that would come about because of their sin. So backing up, we do notice that Jesus mentioned the need to watch. And we notice that Jesus mentioned the need to warn. What's the work of a watchman? It's to watch and to warn. And here Jesus very clearly says that we are to watch, and in implication we are to warn. But also consider the example of the Apostle Paul. We notice, first of all, as we remind ourselves of Ezekiel's commission, that the Lord told him very clearly that if he failed,